We finished last week the account of the happenings before creation. In other words, at a point at which the individual souls as such below the causal plane didn't exist. Although they existed in their latency, they were not in actual fact there. So the section ended, after all these happenings, the world was created. This time, 84 lax bodies and 4 kinds of creation were formed. Him. First Mother created the egg-born, and Brahma created the womb-born. Vishnu created the moisture-born, and Mahesh undertook the creation of the seed-born. Then the creation of bodies started. Know him who creates the body. In this way, 4 kinds of creation were spread in all directions. O Dharam Das, now you know the story of creating the 4 kinds of life. Keep it in your mind. And then the section that we are starting today is called the 4 kinds of life, and it is an elaboration on that. I should mention, as I said before, the word lakh, spelled L-A-K-H in the English, literally means 100,000. So 84 lakhs means 8,400,000 in our terminology. And the 4 terms, egg-born, womb-born, moisture-born, and seed-born, are translations of terms from the Sanskrit language. Actually, each of them, except the egg-born, has 2 terms that can be translated in that way and are used interchangeably. The word for egg-born is andaj, and womb-born is pindaj. There are others too. I forget the others offhand, but they're mentioned later on. Seed-born refers to the plant creation. Moisture-born, which is probably a poor translation, but it's the best that we've been able to come up with, refers to those kinds of life that are, well, things like bacteria, very primitive forms of animal life who do not reproduce in any of the other 3 ways, is as good a way of describing it as any. Midway, we might say, between plant and animal life. Egg-born, of course, refers to the vast majority of the animal kingdom, which reproduces by means of laying eggs, and then the womb-born to the mammals. These 4 kinds of creation figure very prominently in Indian thought. In the talk, Life is a Game of Chopar, which appeared in Satsandesh in January 1972, I think. Master Kripal Singh goes into a lot of detail also on this subject. He uses that. That's one of the motifs of that talk. So, Dharam Das asked this, folding his hands. O Satguru, please tell me this. Tell me about the existence of the creation of 4 different kinds and explain it to me. How are the 84 lakh bodies divided? What is their span? Kabir said, listen, Dharam Das, I will describe the births to you. I will explain everything to you one by one. I won't hide anything from you. Listen to me attentively and don't bring any doubt in your mind. How the 84 lakhs are distributed. There are 9 lakh kinds of water creatures, 14 lakh kinds of birds. I will describe them. Insects are of 27 lakh kinds. 30 lakhs of trees and plants exist. There are 4 lakh kinds of rational beings, among which the human body is supreme. In other words, there are 400,000 species of beings which are conscious entities, which can think, among which the human body is supreme. The other 399,999 species would then refer to beings which exist non-physically. There are many surprises in this section, and this is one of them to me. In other species of life, the jiva cannot know God. Tired by karma, he comes and goes. Why is human life the best? Dharam Das bowed his head to his feet and requested the Lord to explain to him. In all kinds of birth, the jiva is similar. Then why don't they have equal knowledge? Tell me why there is this difference so that the doubt of my mind may go away. The Satguru said, listen, Dharam Das, you are my ornament. I will explain to you this shortcoming. In all 4 kinds of creation, the jivas are similar. But listen to what I am telling you now. In the seed born, there is one element. The moisture born contains two elements, whereas the egg born contains three. In the womb born are four elements, and in the human body, five elements are present. Because of the human body, a jiva holds the right to understand knowledge. The human body is made for the devotion of God. What elements are present in which kind of creation? Dharamdas said to Kabir, O Lord, explain to me which elements they contain. What elements are in the egg-born and womb-born, and what are in moisture-born and seed-born? Describe them all to me. Shower grace on me. Don't hide anything from me. Him. As I explained a few weeks ago, my understanding of these things is that these elements are not to be confused, although the same word is used in English, which is probably unfortunate, are not to be confused with Sanskrit language tattva, usually spelled T-A-T-T-W-A, and it refers to a condition of being, as I explained before. Earth, solid, water, liquid, air, gaseous, fire, one element in the process of transmuting to the other element, and then the fifth, which only human beings have, the element of akash, sometimes translated as sky, which strictly speaking is non-physical. So exactly what these elements, you know, how to define them beyond that, I don't know. But we should remember that this understanding of the physical creation as divided in these ways was a central part of Western thought also, right down through the Renaissance. The Greek philosophers are full of this. And in the Middle Ages and afterwards, a whole system of medicine even was developed on the basis of how these elements interrelated and interacted with other aspects of human or animal life. It's not a small thing. When the physical universe began to be discovered through the scientific method, then this idea was forgotten about or pushed aside, and even the same word was used to mean something else entirely. But that does not mean that this is useless. Neither does this description of elements in any way negate what has been discovered through the scientific method. Two coexist. They are not opposed to one another. They are different ways or different outlooks of the universe or something like that. All right, the Satguru said, listen, Dharamdas, about the elements contained by the different kinds of creation. I will tell you which contains what. In the egg-born are three elements, water, air, and fire. In the seed-born is only one. The element of water is present there. The moisture-born has two elements in it. They are air and fire. The womb-born contains four elements, earth, fire, water, and air. Among the womb-born, the human body is supreme, which contains five elements. Kabir says this truly, Dharamdas. You can test it. The body of man is created from the womb-born, but in it five elements are developed. That is why he has more knowledge and goes to Satlok after catching Nam. An interesting sidelight or reflection there is that this scheme of division of creation very clearly is aware that human beings are physically, biologically, mammals, which was not true of Western science until the time of Darwin, of course. At the same time, it very clearly reflects there is a profound difference between human beings and the rest of animal kingdom, but it does not have to do with their biological formation. It has to do only with the addition of the fifth element, which we might call the spiritual dimension. Why don't all the human beings have equal amount of intellect? Dharamdas said, listen, O reliever of prisoners, please clear up my one illusion. Dharamdas has many one illusions. He will discover as we read on. That's all right. He's living in the living present, and he only has one at a time. All men and women have similar elements, but they don't have similar intellect. Some have compassion, chastity, contentment, and forgiveness in them, whereas some are devoid of these qualities. Some are criminals, some are cruel. Some kill others and eat them, whereas some are very gracious. Some become happy by listening to the knowledge of God. but some like to sing praises of God. My Lord, explain to me why there are different qualities and different human beings. Kabir said to Dharam Das, now this particular section caused me great difficulty, because in it, Kabir more or less said that the difference between human beings has to do with which of the four kinds of life they were in before they had their human birth. The difficulty this caused me was that my understanding was, from the teachings of the masters apart from this particular poem, was that the cycle of 84 was indeed a cycle, that the soul ascended through it until reaching, according to the Sarvachan, the body of a cow, and then from there was born into human form, and that he kept the human form as long as he continued to ascend, depending on the use he made of it. If he did not make use of it, in the eye toward the goal of finding God, he would, of course, sink back down into the cycle and continue downwards, and eventually make his way back up again. This section seems to imply that people are constantly coming into the human body from all kinds of bodies, which makes what kind of a cycle is this? So I asked Sanchi about this very specifically, and he said that it is correct that the cycle does work in the way that I said. This is the basic teaching, and it is correct. The soul does ascend gradually through these bodies and becomes eventually human after going through the cycle of being a mammal, of which the highest is the cow. But one of the works of the masters is to speed this up for all kinds of life, and that consequently, this of course we know, Master Kripal said this very specifically also, as Baba Sawan Singh and many other masters, that any animal that comes in contact with the master directly will get the human body directly because of that. I think that I had underestimated the number of individuals that this might involve in the course of the master's life, especially in a part of the world where, such as India, where human and animal are constantly interacting. The number of lower forms of life that a master would meet in the course of a span of a lifetime would be quite large, counting flies and all sorts of things like that that are, you know, always there. And not to mention plants, especially if the master, for example, happened to be a farmer. In other words, a very large number of individuals. Proportionately, they would be perhaps not so many, counting, you know, everything alive in the world. But in terms of figuring people that you might meet, there's a good chance that they would be, you know, among these. So, Kabir's answer explains this. Now, most of the people coming into the human form from the lower forms of life, other than womb-born, of course, the master has enabled them to shortcut this, but they bring with them certain deficiencies based on the fact that they, perhaps we may say, have a lot more freedom all of a sudden than they had before. And this means that as human beings, they act in perhaps not so nice ways, as he goes into great detail here. When this coupled with the fact that these people are very often the ones who are drawn to the master, you see, if we are in the habit of romanticizing our past lives, I think this should make us stop and think very seriously that it is precisely, you might say, the worst people, the least prepared, the ones who have come from the lower forms of life, the ant who was stepped on by the master, for example, who may be drawn to the love of the master most directly, who may need the master the most. This is a very interesting line of thought, and it should lead, I think, on the part of all of us to a very profound humility, because we may well be the least qualified to be human of anybody alive on this plane. It's just a thought. Kabir said to Dharam Das, Dharam Das, listen to me attentively. I will tell you the qualities of men and women. I will make you understand the reason man becomes intelligent or foolish. The souls who come into the human body from the body of the lion, snake, dog, jackal, crow, vulture, pig, cat, and bodies like that eat inedible things. Know them as persons with bad qualities. The nature of their past doesn't leave them because of their karmas. Only virtue can liberate them. That is why, even though they are manifested as human beings, still they behave as beasts. From whatever body the soul has come, it has its nature accordingly. They come as sinners, violent ones, and killers, and worship poison. Whatever quality they have cannot be changed. The way of removing the effect of the past life's body. When one meets the Satguru and he gives him knowledge, he forgets his beastliness. Brother, when the sandpaper of Nam is applied, only then is the rust of the soul removed. And I would like to submit that that is an absolutely marvelous image. Brother, when the sandpaper of Nam is applied, only then is the rust of the soul removed. When the washerman washes the clothes, he uses soap. The clothes which have little dirt in them need little labor to remove the dirt. The clothes which are very dirty need more labor. The nature of man is like the clothes and dirt. Some souls get knowledge with only a little explanation and labor. Dharam Das said, this was the description of a few bodies. But now please tell me about every kind of creation. When the souls come into the human body from all four different types of creation, what qualities do they have? Tell me, explaining them one by one. O my Lord, have grace on me so that learning this, I may get some awareness. Recognition of the souls from four kinds of creation. Kabir said, Dharam Das, pay attention to me. I will explain the attributes of the four kinds of creation. After wandering in all four kinds, the soul comes into the human body. According to the attributes of whatever body the soul has left before becoming human, the man gets knowledge. Now I will tell you the good and bad qualities of the souls according to their past bodies. Recognition of humans who come from the egg-born creation. First of all, I will tell you about the egg-born. One by one, I will explain them. They have much laziness, sleep, lust, anger, poverty in them. They like to steal, they are very active, and within them they have a strong desire for Maya. They like to backbite and criticize, and to put their house on fire by themselves. Sometimes they weep, sometimes they laugh, sometimes they sing. They like to serve the spirits. When they see others giving in charity, they become jealous and think ill of them. They debate with others and do not allow any knowledge of God in their mind. They do not accept any guru or satguru and throw away the Vedas and Shastras. They consider others to be inferior and call themselves superior. They do not understand others as equal to them. They wear dirty clothes and do not bathe. Their eyes remain full of dirt, and from their mouth also saliva flows down. They like to gamble and are never aware of the glory of the Guru's feet. Their head is bent, their legs are long, and always they sleep. Sometimes the descriptions of the specifics may get almost ludicrous, but we should remember that Kabir is describing types, that types often do have there are physical and psychological similarities between types, and that any type obviously is modified by other factors. This does not describe one individual who has, you know, every single one of these qualities. This is not really the point. Him. These are the signs of the man which I told you. Discern it, O intelligent Dharam Das. I told you about the egg-born kind of creation. I have made its secret available to you. I describe the signs of the souls who come in human form from Andaj, that is, egg-born. I didn't hide anything from you. I am telling you how the souls are wandering. I will remove all your illusions. Recognition of souls who come from the moisture-born creation to the human form. Now I will tell you of the other type of creation, of which qualities I mentioned to you. The jivas who come into the human body from the moisture-born creation. Kabir says, listen, Dharam Das, I will tell you the secret of Ushmaj, that is, moisture-born. They go hunting and kill jivas. They cook them in different ways and eat them. They criticize Nam and the knowledge of God. They also criticize the right of the choka and the coconut. This is something that will be explained much later. It's part of Dharam Das's particular duties. They know many ways of talking and they love to explain things to others. In the gathering of people, they lie. They wear crooked turbans, leaving one end hanging. In other words, as Sanchi explained in connection with this verse, they are sloppy. They do not bring compassion and righteousness with them, and they laugh at those who help others. They put tilak and sandal with dust on their forehead, and wearing shining clothes, they roam in the market. They have sin in their heart and pretend to be compassionate. Such jivas definitely go to Yama. They have long teeth and a fearful body. Their eyes are yellow and deep. Him. Kabir said, "Listen, Dharam Das, now you know about this. Without the Satguru, no one can have this knowledge. I have explained it to you clearly. It was good you have met me. I won't hide anything from you. Whatever you ask from me, I'll tell you its entire secret." Recognition of souls who come from Astavar, that is the seed-born, to the human form. The third type of creation is called immovable. This is, of course, the plant kingdom. I will tell you the attributes of the souls coming to the human body from it. I will give you the message of this kind of creation. The soul takes up a body according to her previous garb. These souls have momentary intellect. It doesn't take them long to change their minds. They wear long shirts, girdles, and turbans, and they like to serve in the imperial court. They ride on horses and keep three swords tied to their waists. They wink and flirt with other men's wives, expressing themselves through winks. They talk very sweetly and have lust within them. They peep into others' houses, and when caught, are brought to the king. But even when people laugh at them, they still do not feel embarrassed. They start to worship one moment, and the next they start serving. They forget God in one moment, and the next start worshiping him. They read profound books in one moment, and the next start dancing around. They are brave in one moment, and the next are cowards. They are honest one moment, and the next multiply accusations against another. One moment they act religious, the next they do bad karmas. While eating, they scratch themselves and are always rubbing their thighs and hands. After eating, they sleep. If anyone wakes them up, they run to beat him. Their eyes remain red. What else is left for me to say? Him. Dharam Das, the jiva coming from the immovable creation, possesses an instantaneous mind. I am telling you this truth, that he undoes all that he achieves in a moment. When such a jiva is met by the Satguru, he removes the effect of the previous body. When he surrenders to the feet of the Guru, he sends him to Satlok. In other words, all through this is running the theme. Even though these people are extremely unworthy, in a sense, of the human form, at the same time, they have received that human form by grace, and by grace, they are taken up. When it comes to meeting the Master and being liberated by him, they are not, by that standard, any worse than anyone else. Recognition of souls who come from the womb-born creation to the human body. Now, these would be the ones who would ordinarily become humans anyway. And it's interesting, although the description of this kind of souls is far more positive than the others, it is by no means perfect. In other words, there are flaws from the point of view of the path and what is required for liberation. There are flaws in this type of soul also. It can be easily seen that many of the attributes of the other three types can become positive strengths when the grace of the Master and the fact of Nam are introduced into the picture. Him. Listen, Dharam Das, while I tell you the attributes and signs of the womb-born. I will tell you now of the fourth kind of creation. The signs of a soul coming from Pindaj, that is the womb-born, are this. He lives as a renunciate and keeps silent. He acts religious only after digesting religious books. He goes on pilgrimage and performs yoga and samadhi. He attaches his mind to the Guru's feet. He talks about the Vedas and Puranas, and sitting among a group of people, he talks about good things. He is able to become a king and enjoys woman, but never brings any doubt in his mind. He likes wealth and money's happiness and sleeps on a comfortable bed. He is very fond of good food and often eats clove and betel nut, which are mildly not quite respectable in India, like smoking. Not quite as bad, but something like that. He spends a lot of his money on charity, and thus he purifies his heart. His eyes are bright, and his body is strong, and he is brave. He has heavens in his hands. He always bows to the idols. Him. O Dharamdas, he is very humble, so know that, Jiva. Day and night he keeps to the Satguru's feet, and with determination he follows the path of Shabda. O Dharamdas, one by one I have told you all the truth. I have told you the signs of all the four kinds of creation. Now listen about further things. Recognition of the soul who comes from the human body to the human body. Him. If when a soul leaves the human body, it comes once again to the human form, listen attentively, Dharamdas, to the recognition of such a soul. As I was going over this and studying it, this was a fascinating section of the poem, because Dharamdas can't believe that there are any souls who go from the human body to the human body. In other words, his understanding of reincarnation, and this reflects the Oriental idea in general, is that you get the human birth once, and that's it. It's interesting because when these ideas were first being presented in the West, it was very difficult for Westerners to accept that they could be reborn into lower than human forms, and in fact, it was difficult for them to accept even that they had been at one time born into lower than human forms. And you'll find many treatises on reincarnation that are written by Westerners to this day will simply wipe out this whole aspect of it and assume that you have been human forever and that you will continue to be human forever. It's like a kind of a big game in which you discover, well, I was a courtier at the court of Pharaoh the 14th, and then I was, you know, a warrior in the time of Caesar. And never in those accounts was anyone ever a garbage collector or anything like that, let alone an insect or a rat or a kangaroo or anything. Yet Dharamdas is coming from exactly the opposite point of view. The thing is that sometimes souls do come from human body to human body. The masters have made it clear that it depends on, you know, what if we are moving in the right direction. Kabir explains this in a somewhat different way, a very beautiful way. But Dharamdas has never heard this before. It's quite incredible, just as incredible as the other is from the other point of view, which is a difference in culture, I would say, and also a difference in the way in which we understand the oneness of life. Dharamdas said, "O my Lord, one doubt has crept into my mind. Please make me understand. The soul gets the human body only after wandering in the cycle of 84 lakhs births. You told me this before. Why this new statement?" In other words, this seems to him a contradiction. "Tell me its secret, O my master." Saying this, Dharamdas caught hold of the master's feet. "Tell me the signs of the man who comes from the human body and explain to me how it is possible." Kabir said, "Dharamdas, you will understand this very well, as I will now tell you its secret. When death comes before his time, a man who dies before his time is up comes again in the human body. Those foolish ones who don't believe this can understand it by burning a lamp's wick. When a lamp is full of oil, if a puff of wind comes, it goes out, but again it is lighted with the fire. In the same way, the soul comes into the human body again. Hear, wise one, I will tell you the attributes of such a one. I won't hide any knowledge from you. Such a man is brave among men. Fear never comes near him. He doesn't get attached to Maya and attachment, and looking at him, his enemies start trembling with fear. He believes in the true Shabda and never knows what criticism is. He always maintains love for the Satguru and speaks lovingly with humility. He searches for knowledge, pretending to be ignorant. But he makes people know about the true Nam. The man who has all these qualities, Dharamdas, know him as one who has come from the human body." And although it is true, and the masters have said, that the time of death is fixed, I think the point here is not that the time is up. It does not mean that the death comes any sooner than was destined to come in terms of his fate karma, but rather that the course of action that he has started is not finished. If a person is moving in the direction of God and the grace of God is working in his heart. He's moving toward initiation and toward the master, or he may already have initiation, but for some reason or another, it is not possible for the master to take him up on death, then such a one can be said to have died before his time, even if the time fixed by his fate karma has come. Again, it's a question of grace, and the interaction of grace, the love of which the title of this poem refers, and the manifestation of that love in the master, these are the governing factors which can cut across and negate all of the apparition of all of this stuff. The four kinds of life, fate, karma, all of that can be short-circuited, you might say, by grace. And I think that is a very important point. Him becomes free of the dirt of birth after birth. The jiva who gets the nam and simran goes to satlok. The soul who accepts the shabda of the master with firmness becomes as valuable as nectar. He goes back to his home with the strength of satnam, and his soul sings in peace and happiness. The Kaal doesn't stop the soul who has the glory of satnam either. Even Kaal bows down to the soul who has the stamp of nam on her. Why was the stream of 84 lakhs made? Dharamdas said, I have been told the secret of the four kinds of creation. Now please tell me whatever else I ask from you. Why was the stream of 84 lakhs births developed? Was it made for man or for the other jivas to pay off their accounts? O my master, tell me the reason. Have grace on me. Don't deny me. The Satguru said, Dharamdas, the human body is happiness-giving. Only in the human body can the knowledge of the Guru be understood. No matter where a man goes after getting the human body, without the Satguru's devotion, he will always suffer. For man, this 84 was created, as this foolish species doesn't accept Shabda. He doesn't leave the habits of the 84 and doesn't divert his love to the true Na. Again, he goes to the cycle of 84, where he cannot find any knowledge of God. He continually runs into the mouth of Kaal, but even then he doesn't wake up. It is explained to him in many ways, but still he himself invites the problems. If he takes Satnam while in the human body, then with the glory of Nam, he can go back to his eternal home. Him. Understanding the love, rising above the body, the jiva who becomes firm in the original Nam gets the prasad of Simran. And by the grace of the master, he comes to the path. Leaving the habits of the crow, he accepts the path of the hansa, that is the swan, and separates milk from water. With the sight of his knowledge, he sees the invisible. Such a soul recognizes the perfect master. The wordless is everything who is shown by the word made flesh. Dharamdas, think this over. The wordless is without elements. Dharamdas said, Blessed was the day for me, O my Lord, when I had your darshan. Have mercy on this servant. Understanding me as your slave, give me this boon. That day and night I may remain absorbed in your feet, but not even for a moment may my mind waver. The dust of your beautiful lotus feet purifies many sinners. O ocean of grace, merciful Lord, have grace on me, O all-conscious one. O my Lord, I sacrifice myself on you. Tell me more of the story clearly. What was done after creating the four kinds of life? Tell me all the secrets. And that is where we'll stop this week. We'll continue next week with the section called Kaal Traps the Jivas, which is the answer to Dharamdas's question. This is the fifth subsection of the main section titled The Story of Creation. And this section is called Kaal Traps the Jivas, and it immediately follows on what we read last week, which dealt with the creation of the four kinds of life. And you will recall that Dharamdas's last question to Kabir was, What happened then? Something like that. Tell me everything. Don't leave anything out. This next section is Kabir's reply. Kaal creates a snare. Kabir said, Listen, Dharamdas, this is such a play of Kaal that not even pundits and qazis can understand it. They address Kaal as the Lord, and leaving the nectar, they drink the poison. The four together, that is, Maya, or Ashtangi, or Bhavani, Kaal's, we may say, wife, the mother of the lower creation, and her three sons, who are also sons of Kaal, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Those are the four. The four together created this creation and colored the jivas in their temporary color. The jiva, who has five elements and three gunas in him, knows that with him are 14 yamas. In this way, the human body was created, then killed, and after eating it up, again it was brought into existence. Eating it up, of course, refers to, again, going into the mouth of Kaal, or Kaal devouring, etc., which is another way of referring to death. But after being destroyed by him, again, it just comes into existence by him. Omkar is the root of the Vedas. In Omkar, all the world is lost. Omkar is Narinjan. Understand this. And Satpurush and his Naam are hidden. Omkar means the form of Om, or the sound of Om. And that is the, in other words, the divine activity of the creative power from the causal plane downwards. That is why the word Om originally was used by the rishis to describe the sound of the thunder coming from the causal plane. And the word Omkar means, can mean that which lies behind that thunder, or that which causes that thunder, the essence of that thunder. And that is Kaal. The higher sounds, the Satpurush and his Naam, and the higher manifestations of God, cannot be seen or heard unless one goes beyond that. And this is the great, you might say, if there is any one thing which is the essence of the teaching of the Anurag Sagar, it is this, the misunderstanding of this point and the acceptance, the assuming that Kaal, or the death god, or the creator of the lower worlds, or the sound of Om, is the ultimate Lord. We've touched on this over and over again. Here it is perhaps as clearly stated as ever in the poem or in any of the teachings of the masters, for that matter. This is the great deception, the trick that Kaal has played. And we have seen that even Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, those who are far closer to the root of all this than we are, how they have been misled in the same way. Truly, only Maya literally knows the truth of this matter in all the lower creation. Brahma gave birth to 88,000, which were developed under the protection of Kaal. The bodies who were created by Brahma, their development also took place. And they made the Simritis, Shastras, and Puranas in which all the jivas were trapped. Those, of course, are the Hindu scriptures. And in them, the point is that this is not clear. In other words, their Om and the other divine manifestations from the causal plane downwards are worshipped as the ultimate and are presented as the ultimate. Brahma misleads the jivas and makes them firm in the devotion of Alak Narinjan. Following the teachings of the Vedas, all the souls were deluded and no one knew the secret of Satpurush. O Dharamdas, understand how Nirankar produced this drama. Him. First, by becoming demons, gods, rishis, munis, then he incarnates himself as the protector and destroys the demons. In this way, he shows many dramas to the jivas, seeing which the jivas trust him. He is our Lord and protector. In other words, the whole lower creation, which is under the control of Kaal, he himself is the trouble, and then he himself is the savior. This is something that has happened over and over again. Showing the jivas his performance as the protector, in the end, he devours them. When the souls find themselves in the mouth of Kaal, then they repent. Then Brahma made the 68 places of pilgrimage, karma, sins, and virtues, the 12 signs of the zodiac, 27 planets, 7 days, 15 lunar days were then made. Then the 4 yugas were created, and the minute, second, and breathing time was estimated. All this, of course, refers to the completion of the creation of the lower worlds. All of these things, including, you will note, sins and virtues. Again, this was when Maya, before her fall, was remonstrating with Kao to be better. He replied that he was above sins and virtues because he was the author of them. And it is true that in the higher planes, where there is no duality, there is no separation or no analysis, one might say, or division of anything into what we would call good and bad. Those things don't exist there. There is only that which the original creator, the Satpurush, desires, and nothing else except that. Of course, note that time is the essence of the lower worlds. Time is the thing that distinguishes the three worlds, the physical, astral, and causal planes, from the higher planes. This is a very important point. It's, of course, implicit in Kao's name, Kao meaning literally time. But this is the distinction between time and eternity, and it is not a correct thing to think of eternity as a long time. That's not the point at all. Time is a dimension in which we are trapped, just as, in the same way as people who existed in only two dimensions would be trapped in the third. In other words, they would be unable to rise up or look over or be aware of the third dimension except as something over which they could see only as much as they could see at a given moment. And it's the same with us. We are trapped in time, and we are unable to see anything except the present moment. But someone who is looking from the vantage point of eternity in Sach Khand, you might say, when he looks at us, for example, he would see what we had been and what we will be just as clearly as he sees what we are. All would be there, just in the same way as we exist in three dimensions. If anything distinguishes the three worlds from the spiritual creation, it is this. The month of Kartok and Magh were considered auspicious. Of course, a lot of this refers to the establishment of what we could call the Hindu ritual law, which has its, of course, parallels in all religious traditions. But this conversation is taking place in India, and Kabir is using the traditions that Dharam Das is familiar with. Few can understand this play of Kao. Importance was given to pilgrimages and holy places, and thus the jivas do not leave illusion and recognize their own self. All were trapped in good and bad deeds. In this way, all the souls were entangled. Jivas cannot be saved without the true Shabda, and without the essential Shabda, jivas go into the mouth of Kao. Being afraid, people earn merits, but by their fruit, their needs are not met. As long as the rope of Satpurush is not caught, the jiva wanders in different bodies. Kao deludes the souls in many ways, and so the jiva doesn't find the secret of Satpurush. The jivas are involved in greed for profit, and because of their desires, they are devoured by Kao. Nobody knows the drama of Kao. Giving them hope, Kao makes the souls dance. It's a very powerful and moving section. I think it needs no explanation, but as long as we think we are waking up, of course we won't try to wake up. Or if we think we are awake, then we think there is no need to wake up. And this is why religious ritual and religious ritual requirements have often been positively counterproductive in terms of waking up, because the soul, in doing them, thinks that it's doing what it needs to do, and that isn't true. First, listen to the tradition of Satyuga, or the first age of time. This is a transitional sentence in which Kabir is going from a general description into a brief account of conditions at the very beginning of creation, in which Kao takes the souls and eats them up. Daily he eats 1 lakh souls. Kao is a very mighty and cruel butcher. There he has a heated rock, which remains hot day and night, where he puts the jivas. Burning the jivas, he puts them to pain. Then he throws them into the cycle of 84. He makes them wander in different bodies, and in this way gives them trouble. In many ways, the jivas cried out that Kao was giving them too much pain. The jivas call out after getting pain on the heated rock. With Satpurusha's orders, Kabir relieves them. Oh, Master, please help. The pain given by Kal is unbearable. Him. When Satpurusha saw the souls in such a pitiful condition, he felt mercy on them. Then I was called by the generous, gracious Lord. And that's, of course, a personal reference. This is the first time in the poem that Kabir as such appears. And here, there is no question that this poem explains Kabir as the primordial master, you might say, the prototypical saint. And here he is functioning as a master who has never incarnated as yet in human form, but he is the power directly relating to these souls. Then I was called by the generous, gracious Lord. He explained to me many things and ordered me to awaken the souls. He told me to extinguish the fire of the souls. He said that whoever sees me will become cool. I obeyed his orders and took his words on my head. I started from there that moment, bowing my head to Satpurusha. I came to where Yama was harassing the jivas, where Kal Narinjan was making the souls dance. Of course, Yama and Kal are the same. I stood there where the jivas were being burned. Seeing me, they called, O Lord, please rescue us. Then I called aloud the Sat Shabda and connected the jivas with the Shabda of Satpurusha. The jiva's prayer. Then all the jivas prayed, Blessed are you, O Lord, who has put out our fire. O Lord, please save us from Yama. Shower grace, all-conscious Lord. Then I explained to the souls that if I were to use force, the word of the Satpurusha could not be kept. And this is one of the things that is very hard for people to grasp. Why did Satpurusha give such a word in the first place? This refers to his original giving of the creation, of the lower creation, to Kal. You know, there is no explanation for this, except that is, that can be explained, I think, within the confines of time, except that it is one of the attributes of the holy, you might say, that it is vulnerable to the activity of the unholy. In other words, the Satpurusha gave the lower creation to Kal as a trust. Kal betrayed that trust, but still it was not taken away from him because it had been given. And I think a lot of us can, if we look into our own backgrounds, our own relations with the Master, and so forth, we could find analogies to this that would be quite startling. That the Master gives us a lot, and if we betray what he gives us, still he does not necessarily take it back. He might, depending on what it is, but it's the way things are in eternity is about all we can do with that. And also, the other thing is that, as Blake put it, eternity is ever in love with the products of time. A statement that Master Kripal has quoted. And Satpurusha heard the prayers of the jivas. He sent Kabir, and he will continually hear the prayers of those who are asking for the right thing. That is, those who are praying to leave, that they have had enough. Then I explained to the souls that if I were to use force, the word of the Satpurusha could not be kept. This is Kabir speaking to the souls. When you go in the world and take up a body, love the Shabda. Recognize the Naam and Simran of the Satpurusha and accept the truth. If, when you come in the body, you will be absorbed in Sat Shabda, only then will your soul go to Satlok. Where there is attachment, there you go. Whatever desire you remember in thought, word, and deed, according to your attachment, you will dwell there. In the body, whatever you desire will lead you to dwell there in the end. In the world, after taking up the body, if you forget Satpurusha, Kal will devour you. The jivas said, Listen, Ancient One. When we go in the body, we will forget this knowledge. We will remember Yamrai, that is the death god or the death king, that is Kal, and think that he is Satpurusha, as the Vedas and Puranas all say, love the formless. Demons, men, munis, and 33 crores of gods are all tied with the rope of Narinjan. According to his teachings, we believed all this, but now we understand the snare of Yama. Kabir said to the Jivas, O Jivas, listen. This is the deception of the mind. Because of mind, the trap of Kal has become stronger. Him. Using his skill, Kal has created many pleasures for the Jivas. Pilgrimages, fasting, japa, yoga, all are traps of Kal. No one knows the way to escape from them. Kal himself takes up the body, and he himself praises his own existence. He made many qualities and deeds, and caught the Jivas in his trap. Kal is terrible, and the Jivas are in his control. Birth by birth, they get punished by him, without recognizing the true Nam. I went to Satpuruj. Making them happy, I told the Jivas to understand this knowledge. When you take up the body and come into the world, then I will tell you the secret of Shabda. When you catch the rope of Satnam, then I will make you free from Yama. After teaching the Jivas, I went to Satpuruj and explained the sufferings of the Jivas. The gracious Satpuruj, who is the generous Lord, who is without desires, and at whose feet lies our safety, told me in many ways to bring the souls back after making them remember the Shabda. Dharamdas then requested, O Gyani, explain to me and don't hide from me the Shabda which was told by the Satpuruj. Tell me, O Lord, which Shabda saves the souls? The Satguru said, I am telling you now whatever Satpuruj ordered. In many ways he explained to me and told me to bring the souls back, making them remember the Shabda. The Lord gave me that which is latent. Understand this. The bodiless Nam is the emancipation giver. He gave me the authority and the sign to connect the souls with him. That which is latent. In other words, the Shabda which has created the universe, but which lies latent within each of our souls. The key to that, the ability to make that manifest, was given by Satpuruj to Kabir. And that is the emancipation giver, no human being. Without the tongue, that sound is made, but only with the help of a perfect master can one get it. Five nectars, that is to say, Panchamrit, and here it's referring to the five shabdas, are the root of liberation, by which the going into physical wombs comes to an end. The soul who gets the Nam in this way, he told me, that is, Satpuruj told me, to liberate one more generation than the present one of the souls who get that Nam. This is a difficult line, and it's probably, rereading it, I see that it should be worked on a little more. It's difficult because there's an awful lot of meaning compressed into it, and it's hard to get that into English without making it very unwieldy. The point is that anyone who takes Nam, then not only that generation, that is to say that person, but one more generation, presumably the one following, although it may be the one preceding for all I know, will also get Nam. In other words, any one person who gets initiated guarantees that there will be at least one or two others also connected with him who will get it. And that's a promise that is made. It's like, not, it's more than a promise. It's, such souls will go to Satlok by the rope of Nam, and even Dharam Rai will be afraid to see them. In other words, once Nam is grasped by the soul, and Dharam Rai, of course, is Kal again. And I can't emphasize too much that each of these names is significant. Dharam Rai, again, is the Lord of Law, or the King of Law, the Lord of Judgment. And in that capacity, he will be not able to work. I think, as far as I understand it, there is a reason why each particular name of Kal is used. And here we have, literally, and even the King of Judgment will be afraid to see them. In other words, he won't be able to judge. He will be rendered useless as the judgment came. Satpuruj told me, when you make these souls your disciples, make them free from Yama. Now Yama is death, the death god, so they are free from death. As I have given you this knowledge, in the same way you give it to your disciples. The greatness of the Guru. One should always keep the Shabda of the Guru Mukh in his heart. Day and night he should drink the nectar of Naam. As the woman has love for her husband, in the same way the disciple should love the form of the Guru. Moment after moment he should gaze at the beauty of the Guru Mukh. The disciple should be as the moon bird, and the master as the peace-giving moon. As the loyal wife is faithful, and not even in dreams does she think of another man, and in that way she glorifies both families, hers and her husband's. In the same way, the disciple should follow Sant Mat. As the loyal wife remembers her husband, in the same way the disciple should obey the orders of the master. There is no one superior to the Guru. Dharam Das, understand this. There is no one greater than the Guru. Leaving illusion, worship the Satguru. Even those who serve the pilgrimages, temples, and gods with all their heart, sacrificing their head, do not speak beneficial words. The whole world is forgotten in illusion. Hymn. O Dharam Das, Guru Bhakti. That is, of course, devotion to the Guru, or love for the Guru or the Master, is unchangeable and great. There is nothing as good as Guru Bhakti. Compared to it, japas, yogas, tapas, fasting, donating, and ritual worship are like straw. Only the saint on whom the Satguru is gracious will accept this in his heart. O saint, you will see the radiance of the lamp of Master's knowledge. If Satguru showers grace, one can have liberation and security. The story of Sukhdev Ji. Sukhdev was an arrogant Yogeshwar. Nobody else was like him. He went to Vishnu Lok by the power of his austerities, but without the master he could not remain there. Vishnu asked him, "How did you come here, O Rishi? Without the master the glory of austerities is not counted. I don't like the person with no guru. Such a person comes in the body again and again and suffers. Go back and take up a wise and perfect master. Only then will you get this place." Hearing this, Sukhdev Muni returned. Without a master, he could not stay there. He took the bodiless Janak as his master and became as happy as the rainbird when it rains. Narad was the son of Brahma and was a scholar. Everyone knows his story. Many other gods, rishis, munivars, those who went into the refuge of a master, crossed the ocean of life. If one gets a perfect master, he shows him the real path, and he makes him see the truth and untruth. Only he is the perfect guru who shows the truth. Other gurus are of no use. He gives the message of Satpurush and removes the sufferings of birth after birth. One who does not give the hope of sin and virtue, in other words, that our salvation is dependent on how good we are, who resides in the shade of the indestructible tree, one who has the quality of Bringi. Listen, Dharam Das, he is the true master. Remember, Bringi, of course, was the quality of becoming, well, becoming a Guru Mukh, becoming that through whom the master can work. And one who has himself done this, who has become a Bringi in relation to his master, is of course the master. Him, he who shows the void home, accept him as the true guru. Take his words as true, who goes to the fourth after giving up the three. It's an enigmatic kind of sentence, but quite obviously means who goes past the three worlds into the fourth plane, here taken as including all the higher ones within it. This body is controlled by five and three. And here the three means the three gunas, and the five means the five elements. And as we will see later, I think we've seen already to some extent, the different types of humans, the different psychologies and mentalities of human beings are largely brought about by the various combinations of the five elements and the three gunas. The bodiless Shabda is different from this. He is seen bodiless in the body. I tell you, this is the essence of the Master's teaching. In other words, the Master is not controlled by 5 and 3, and we can see that for ourselves. We can see what he really is, and he is there to be seen in that way, and this is the essence of it. Couplet. By meditation, one who absorbs himself in the bodiless, which is the only purpose of taking up the body, another great paradox. It has often struck me that the reason for taking up the human body is so that we are not subject to the human body, and that's the way it goes. By meditation, one who absorbs himself in the bodiless, which is the only purpose of taking up the body, never comes and never goes. He becomes bodiless in the body, exactly as the Master is. That is where we're forced to stop, because I have no further pages. We will continue next week with the following section.